This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
All right, you're live, Poof.
All right, thank you. Welcome. We got ourselves a West Coast victory, baby. And how many times did this game feel like it was going to be a loss? How many freaking times when Joey Wendell couldn't make a play in that absolutely dreadful sixth inning? When Mookie Betts off the bat against poor Reed Garrett, how many outs did Reed Garrett need to get in that sixth inning? I think he got six outs. Gives up a fly ball that off the bat, you're thinking, oh, crap. Is this really getting out for a three-run home run? Or when James Outman hit one right off the bat against Adam Ottavino, that hanging slider that looked like it was going to get out. But the New York Mets survive, and they survived because this offense, which needs to be the strength of the team. That was my thought coming into the season. This is going to have to resemble the 2022 Met offense. This offense responded at every single turn. From jumping on Yoshinobu Yamamoto right from get. Now, they couldn't really finish him off because Yamamoto settled down. But to hitting that Dodger bullpen, Daniel Hudson, Joe Kelly, Ryan Brazier, an outstanding job by the Met offense. And they beat the Dodgers to really begin this West Coast trip off as beautifully as you can imagine. So let's break down this game as we respond, you know, maybe 10 minutes after the Mets beat the LA Dodgers. First of all, if you stayed up for this West Coast Met game, I know it's a Friday night, so that makes it a little bit easier, tad bit easier. All year long, we have been watching games that are 2 hours and 20 minutes. Every freaking night is 2 hours and 20 minutes. And when a game starts at 7:10, that means it's over by 9:30. Great. Kiss your wife. Go to bed at a reasonable time. Everybody's happy. They play a Friday night game against the LA Dodgers. And of course, we get a 3 hour game. Of course. Now, who am I to complain about this? All I know is that when I sat down at 10:05 and my scorebook was getting ready, I was thinking to myself, holy crap, I'm not getting through this game. I'm pissed tired. There is no way I'm getting through this game. And I think the reason I was able to survive this three-hour Met game is because it was damn exciting. It really was. Now, let's go right back to the beginning. Because in the top of the first inning against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, his curveball looked absolutely unhittable. But you could tell early on what the formula was going to be. Jump on fastballs early in the count. So Starling Marte, second batter of the game, jumps on a fastball that off the bat, I still can't believe didn't get out. Now, that turned out to be a good thing because for whatever reason, the ball was not carrying at Dodger Stadium on this night. So while it may have screwed Starling Marte in the top of the first inning, I think it ended up helping the Mets as the night went on. But after Marte just misses jumping on that fastball first pitch against Yamamoto, Francisco Lindor had an absolute no shot at bat against Yamamoto, and he was gone. Sean Manaea, we needed to bounce back from him, considering what happened a week ago against Kansas City, gives you a 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning, which may not sound like a big deal, but this Dodger team is so freaking top heavy. And so while the Dodgers have flaws, where they don't have flaws is at the top of the order. Having to look at Mookie Betts, who no one's gotten out this year until tonight, until this game, where the Mets somehow sent them to an 0-for-4. And then you got to deal with Shohei Ohtani, and then you got to deal with Freddie Freeman, who the Mets handled beautifully tonight. But in the second inning, I admit, right after Pete Alonso struck out on three pitches and Yamamoto had struck out three of the first four hitters, I was putting a text message together. And I can't be the only one who had this thought right before the first pitch to DJ Stewart. I took my phone out. I was writing the Mets text chat, which also includes Tiki. And I was writing, I had it all typed out. It said, Yamamoto feels unhittable. That's the way it felt. Because outside of Marte jumping on that first pitch fastball, top of the first inning, struck out Nimmo, struck out Lindor on three pitches, made Pete Alonso look like a fool. And as I'm typing that out, our DJ, our favorite DJ, DJ Stewart, absolutely smokes one against Yamamoto. And again, same formula, same exact formula. Jump on fastballs early. That's your only chance against this guy. And DJ deposits one into the right field seats. 1-0 New York Mets. Then we get the play that hopefully we're not going to regret for a long time. Francisco Alvarez hits that little tapper in which Will Smith tries to, I guess, like shovel it to Freddie Freeman from about 15 feet away. It goes over Freddie's head. Alvarez falls down, tries to break his fall with his hand. Looks like he injures his thumb again. And then slides into second base, again, his thumb on the ground. And even though Alvarez stayed in the game, and I think Gary Cohen mentioned this on the broadcast, you always have this fear that a guy will stay in the game and then an inning later will come out. So right now, I mean, I'm a little fearful for Francisco Alvarez. He's cooled off offensively, no doubt, but I think all of us still want to see him out there every freaking day. We don't want to see him shortchanged because of an injury. So this thumb issue, we'll see if it turns into something. You never know. I mean, Brett Beatty's still dealing with a hamstring injury. He was not in the lineup, did not play in Friday night's game. But Alvarez injures the thumb, stays in the game, and you just knew within an inning he's coming out for Omar Narvaez. Where the Mets have to take this seriously is even if Alvarez is day-to-day, you got to get yourself a backup catcher up here. You may force yourself to have to make an uncomfortable roster move, like, I don't know, sending out DJ Stewart or Zach Short, as crazy as that sounds, just to get a position player up here, or you just got to IL Alvarez, which I know you'd hate to do, especially if it's only going to be a day-to-day proposition. So keep an eye on that. But after Alvarez gets the second on the gift error by Will Smith and Jeff McNeil strikes out, Harrison Bader. And really, you can look back at this game against the Dodgers, and you could call it many, many things. Francisco Lindor game, we'll get to him later. Beating Yamamoto game. Met offense piling it on game. But you could also call it the Harrison Bader game because he was the master on this Friday night. Behind in the count against a tough righty like Yamamoto, pounds a base hit up the middle. All of a sudden, now it's 3-0 New York Mets. And you're thinking to yourself, here we go, or 2-0 New York Mets. I'm trying to get my count right.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I do have my scorecard in front of me. It's the beauty of scoring games, right? I have it right here. 1-2, Bader base it up the middle. And Harrison Bader would go on and give you a four-hit night. And then they tack on in the third inning. Brandon Nimmo has that great at-bat, drawing a walk. Starling Marte rips a double. And then we get more frustration from Francisco Lindor. Struck out in the first inning. First pitch, second and third, nobody out. Set up to really finish off Yamamoto. He pops it up to short center field. And there was no chance they were going to run on that center fielder, Podges. So Lindor, first pitch pop up. Half of you guys are booing from your homes in New York. Let's be perfectly honest. Especially as a left-hand hitter where he has looked completely lost. Luckily, Pete Alonso made up for it. Had a really good at-bat. Worked it to 3-2 and then flicked it in the right field to give him a 3-0 lead. DJ Stewart, give him credit. He's behind in the count 0-2 and just misses a second home run for a sacrifice fly. And the Mets have jumped all over Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Now, to Yamamoto's credit, he settled down. He worked his way through trouble in the fourth inning after they got the back-to-back hits, the ground rule double by Harrison Bader hit number two, a base hit by Joey Wendell, and they failed when Nimmo and Marte struck out. And Yamamoto ended up giving them six innings, which was actually surprising, especially with the way the Dodgers have handled him so far this season. And then you get Sean Manaea slowly but surely letting them back in the game. But I thought overall from Sean Manaea, he pitched as well as you could hope for against the Dodgers. First of all, Manaea has not had great success against the Dodgers. That's number one. Number two, even though the Dodgers are such a top-heavy lineup, it is still not easy to get through five or six innings. And Sean Manaea was able to work his way through trouble. He put the leadoff man on in the second inning, got through it. He put the leadoff man on in the third inning with a walk, which you can't do. He got Chris Taylor to ground into a double play. He put the leadoff man on in the fourth inning. And even though he gave up a two-out single to Teoscar Hernandez, he was able to get through the fourth inning, only one run scoring. And then I thought really what was impressive, believe it or not, was the fifth inning. Because he gives up a leadoff double to Podges. He gets an out. And then he walks Chris Taylor on four pitches with the top of the order coming up. It drove me nuts. It's the fifth inning. Your lead is now down to 4-1. And you have given the LA Dodgers the tying run at the plate with the top of the order coming up. And as this is happening, I'm thinking to myself, and this is the problem, you know, you're watching games on TV. We have no idea who's warming up in the bullpen unless they tell us. Unless they tell us, hey, you know what? Mendy's got two guys warming up. We have no freaking idea. I was so disgusted by that Chris Taylor walk in the fifth inning. I'm looking up saying, please tell me someone's warming up in the bullpen because I would have pulled his ass right then and there. I don't care what his pitch count is. It's third time around the batting order. You got Mookie Betts, who, yes, he's 0 for 2, but he just missed on both. The first one was a line drive at Lindor. The second one was, I think, a fly ball that was deep to right field. And now you had Chris Taylor, who's in the midst of like an 0 for 30. He's hitting 0-30, and Sean Manaea walks him. But stunningly, he gets through it. Now, he gets very lucky. Because Mookie Betts jumped on the very first pitch and again just missed a home run. That's what I'm talking about. That's why as much as Marte just missed a home run in the first inning, how many times did the Dodgers just miss home runs? He does give up the base hit to Otani that made it 4-2 and then shockingly strikes out Freddie Freeman. So I give Manaea credit. He was not dominant by any stretch. He issues a four-pitch walk to the ninth place hitter when you've got Betts and Otani and Freeman coming up. But to his credit, man, he got through it. And even though Manaea's pitch count was only 85, I understood Carlos Mendoza saying, you know what? I'm getting this guy out of the game. I have a bullpen I could trust, so I'm getting him out. Now, he goes to Reed Garrett, who has been, let's face it, he has been the best story of this entire season for us this year. The fact that Reed Garrett has been as dominant as he's been, he has been like the secret weapon. And I wasn't sure he was going to go to him here because Reed Garrett has been used basically on 3 days rest every time they used him. So I guess this is 3 days rest too. Let me see. The last time he pitched was Tuesday's game. So no, it's 2 days rest. It's Wednesday and Thursday. And remember, Reed Garrett threw two innings of that game and threw a lot of pitches. So I wasn't sure that Mendy would go back to Reed Garrett, and he does in the sixth inning. I got no problem with that. You got a completely fresh bullpen. Sean Manaea was lucky as hell. Lucky as hell he got through those five innings. So fine, go to Reed Garrett. And then we got tortured by Joey Wendell. Look, the Mets won a game. I don't want to be negative. I should be very, very happy. And I am happy. I'm also punch drunk, but I'm very happy. Who isn't happy?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you're watching this crap right now, you're either drunk or you're happy. There's no in between. But Joey Wendell, dude, you're supposed to be a good defensive player. You are a good defensive player. Reed Garrett gets a weak ground ball to third base off of the bat of Will Smith. And Joey, I don't know what the hell Joey Wendell was doing. I don't know what the hell was going through his mind. So when that error is committed, again, it's a 4-2 game at this point. I'm thinking to myself, all right, we're testing Reed Garrett. Okay, we're taking this kid who has been so unhittable so far with the four different pitches he throws. It's like a starting pitcher out of the bullpen. We're really going to test him. And he responds. He gets Teoscar Hernandez to pop up to first base. I'm thinking to myself, all right, here we go. Reed Garrett is not even going to let Joey Wendell bother him. And then this is the play that caused me to almost wake up my entire family because it pissed me off to no end. Kiki Hernandez hits a ground ball to third that, let's face it, is a double play. And the inning is over, and Reed Garrett, no sweat, he's through the inning. And Joey Wendell throws the ball in the right field. He bounces it to Jeff McNeil. It's a very difficult play for Jeff McNeil to make. It bounces away from him. Will Smith goes to third. And so Joey Wendell has somehow allowed three outs to go away. Now, one of those outs he should have gotten twice, so it's really two outs to go away. But I'm going to be a dick right now. Joey Wendell gave away three outs in this inning. If you are a Met fan watching this inning unfold, at that moment you're convinced we're dead. I mean, we are freaking dead. This inning is about to just be lit on complete fire. And then you have to think it affected Garrett. This guy's been unbelievable this year. He falls behind Podgers 2-1, and then he hits him. And it was one of those pitches where I think it was a slider. You know, Podgers kind of stuck his arm out, but what are you going to do? And now the bases are freaking loaded. And Dave Roberts, I agree with his managing, goes to the bullet, goes to Max Muncy. I got no problem with that. And that is where our little child, our little boy, Reed Garrett, became a man. Because bases loaded. And think about how the bases were loaded. Joey Wendell's crap defense and a very unlucky hit batsman. That's how the Dodgers loaded the bases. And he showed some big-time balls, and he struck out Max Muncy. Now, granted, Max Muncy strikes out a lot, but he also hits a lot of home runs. And the count went to 3-2, and Reed made a big pitch. The Chris Taylor at-bat that allowed the Dodgers to tie the game. Look, it's obviously disappointing, but I think as he fell behind him with Mookie Betts on deck, Reed Garrett knew on 3-1, I can't walk this guy. Like I am going to have to go right after him. The guy's 0 for his last 31 or whatever it was, and it was deflating. Because that 4-0 lead went completely away after Chris Taylor got that base hit. And I wasn't mad at Reed Garrett. I don't think any of us should be mad at Reed Garrett. How many effing outs did he need to get in that sixth inning? How many? How many has he got to get? That's on Joey Wendell. And look, the Mets won the game. They beat the crap out of the LA Dodgers. They scored a lot of runs. The bullpen overall was pretty freaking good. This is on defense, and the Mets have to clean that up. Because as this season goes on, and there are more close games against good competing teams, you cannot commit three errors in a game.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him.
Cut him. Cut his ass.
Cut his ass?
He's cut. Cut him. Sorry, I got to go back and host the show again.
All right, go. By the way, Pete Hoffman is an effing legend. All right, the fact that he set up a live YouTube Rico Bronya record session in the middle of doing it overnight makes him a legend and also makes me a jackass for not thanking him in my book. It's a reminder that I'm a real moron sometimes. But you know what I've learned about life? When you're dumb and when you make mistakes, what you got to do is you got to learn from your mistakes and you got to apologize and you got to get better. It's the only thing you can do. Let that be a lesson, kids. So I learned from my mistakes. I will never take Pete Hoffman for granted, even though he just broke into the Rico Bronya with a dumb comment by saying we should cut Joey Wendell, which I'm not saying we should do. I'm just annoyed. I was just annoyed that he gave the LA Dodgers four extra outs. And then I'll tell you off the bat again, this is like the fourth time this happened. Reed Garrett got through the sixth inning because Mookie Betts off the bat looked like he hit a three-run home run. But to the Mets' credit, and this is where, listen, Met fans, this is where we have to get giddy. This is where we have to believe. As skeptical as you've been, as skeptical as you may currently be about the core of this roster, the Mets showed guts on this Friday night, Saturday morning in LA, California. Because after giving the lead back, courtesy of two horrible errors by Joey Wendell, courtesy of a cheap hit batsman, courtesy of a guy who's in an 0-for-31, getting a 3-1 pitch right down the middle to crush for a two-run single, what do the New York Mets do? Think about what they do. Top of the seventh inning, Brandon Nimmo strikes out against Daniel Hudson. Starling Marte hits a routine ground ball to shortstop, and Mookie Betts makes the same mistake Joey Wendell made by committing a big error. And then Francisco Lindor is a hero and has a moment that he so desperately needed. Like, that was so freaking important for Francisco Lindor to have, because it's from the left side, because it's in a big moment with the game tied after the Mets had lost the lead. It was so important for him. It was so important for the team. And you could see the reaction on that play by Francisco Lindor, by the entire room, by that entire dugout. That's why this became the Francisco Lindor game. And the Mets are able to pile on some more. They get a great effort from Brooks Raley. Adam Ottavino scares the crap out of us because James Outman off the bat, I thought that was gone, and the Mets survive. And they don't have to use Edwin Diaz, because they break the game open with two more runs in the eighth from Starling Marte, with another run in the ninth inning from the immortal DJ Stewart, our favorite DJ, and the Mets beat the LA Dodgers. Now, I have to leave prematurely because one of my sons woke up in a huff at 1 a.m. because he's excited about the Dodgers. Don't worry, buddy. I'm coming. Just give me a minute. All right, buddy? I love you. All right? All right. Now I gotta go. Let's go, Mets. What a freaking win. Now I gotta go be super dad. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. I love you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.